time for Extra Sauce with Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon. Now, here's Greg and Courtney.
So welcome to the first Extra Sauce. I'm Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon is here. And this is the start of, it's like the networks with TV. I think we have a 10 show. Is it a 10 show run?
A 10 show. That's what you're saying. You said on my podcast. It was a 10 show run.
10 show run.
This is Extra Sauce. I am Courtney Fallon. We can introduce. This is Greg Hill.
And
we'll introduce each other.
For those who don't know you, you've been on the NFL Network.
Yes.
You're a journalist. I'm not a journalist. I host a hack morning show on this station.
I'm a Patriots insider. You are not a Patriots insider.
Right. You and Tommy Curran are Patriots insiders.
I'm just kidding.
Every week on this show, what Courtney and I want to do is introduce you to great places to eat, great things to drink, great bars to go to, great places in this, great food halls in the city, and Boston's becoming a food hall city. There's so much that we can talk about. We're going to do it every week. And on this particular episode, to start things off, we're going to be joined shortly by former New England Patriot Matt Light, who loves his food. He loves to hunt for his food.
That's the most mind-blowing thing he's been talking about. What kind of game that he likes to hunt, and goes into great detail about cutting it up.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of hunting. That's like caveman restaurant
stuff. Yeah. Well, he likes to kill it and then get it ready with his bare hands and then eat it with his bare hands. So Matt Light will join us in just a little bit. And then later on, Boston is undergoing a chicken resurgence of sorts. And fried chicken is all the rage. And we're going to talk to the amazing people at a new place in Cambridge where fried chicken and oysters and pimento cheese are what you can get, and you leave there with a big smile on your face and you go right to the Peloton afterwards.
We had a couple of sandwiches in studio, and can I tell you that if you're ready for some ASMR, that's right. That's how I say it. ASMR.
But you need a nap.
Greg's ASMR of biting into a chicken sandwich should be all that you need to put yourself to sleep.
Yeah.
And dream well tonight.
Well, after a good meal, you have to have a nap, don't you think? I mean, I think restaurants should have napping areas so you can go right to the nap. Speaking of restaurants. Valentine's Day is next week.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm guessing that you are expecting that whoever it is, whoever you're currently dating, is going to take you out for a nice meal out at a restaurant.
Of course.
That's the expectation, right?
Yeah, the expectation. And I'm like just generalizing outside of myself and my personal life, because who wants to hear about my personal life? Are you the type of person that, like, say, you know, Mrs. Hill, this is, you know, you're going to make two or three reservations
just in case
on Valentine's? Okay, because I want to just kind of, like, bring this up.
Yeah.
This is, like, Valentine's Day restaurant etiquette. Going out and stealing an 8 or 8:30 reservation at three of the top restaurants in town.
And then not showing up.
So that you can cancel the last two last minute is the worst Valentine's Day etiquette.
Why do people do that?
People do that because they go and they say, Happy Valentine's Day, baby. Pick which restaurant you want to go to tonight.
Like, greedy.
Do you understand if anyone on this show does this, you should just be booted to HE double hockey sticks.
Yeah.
You should be kicked to hell right away.
Yeah,
please.
No, I mean,
Don't do that. That's my one Valentine's Day etiquette, because the amount of times, I mean, I was just down in Miami for a Super Bowl, and the amount of times that I wanted to maybe grab a reservation that someone, you know, was too drunk to go get their, you know, to go, hey, they were at some party. And like, people going and canceling their reservations and not going. I mean, it messes up with other people's lives, too. So be kind to your open table.
I mean, open table is the best way to get reservations, right?
Yes.
Unless you know somebody.
Resi is the other restaurant. Resi is more of a I'm not saying a higher scale. I'm not discrediting anything. Open table, but has, like, a very select few, very, like, upscale restaurants that they have. It's Resy, R-E-S-Y.
Yeah.
And I believe that they charge for reservations that if you don't show up, then you get charged for it.
See, so. I think if you're gonna make a reservation and not show up, then you ought to get charged for
it. Yeah, I agree.
And there should never be reservations taken for bar stools. Like I cannot stand when you show up at a there's some places that take reservations for their bar seats.
Yeah, but traditionally speaking, it's always have you always been in the notion that it's first come, first serve?
Do you like
in a lounge?
Do you like eating dinner by yourself at a bar?
I love it.
Because I love it.
I mean, you're talking to a girl who's a traditional reporter, road scout. A lot of the times you eat by yourself. And I
think great. Like, you don't have to come up with conversation.
No, I love it.
You can tell yourself how great you are.
Yeah,
you can,
exactly.
And you sit there. And if you want to talk to the bartender, do you like a talkative bartender?
No.
You don't?
Please don't talk to me.
You don't want to share all of your problems with your bartender?
No, I mean, I'm not really so much. I keep to myself for the most part. I don't indulge in, if a bartender, if they're good at making a cocktail and they sell me on a cocktail and they nail the cocktail, like, I don't know, if I'm like, hey, I'm really thinking about a Manhattan, but I don't want it too sweet, but I want to try this new bourbon. And if they really like talk the talk and walk the walk and know what they're doing, like maybe then I'll like indulge. And if they have a cool couple of stories, much like Chris from Lily P's was talking about on our show about his travels. I don't know that he talking about his travels going to Colorado and going to, drawing his stuff from New Orleans. I mean, like if you have a good story about why you like a certain bourbon and why that bourbon is distilled a certain way. I mean, like, listen, I'm all ears, but if you want to talk about the worst is if I'm watching a game and they ask me my opinion on the game.
But
I'm
you
like,
don't,
please, like, just uncheck that.
You also don't need, in my opinion, you don't need a story about everything. Like, Number 9 Park is a great restaurant.
Barbara Lynch.
I was just there.
Yes.
But the particular server I had a story about everything from the napkin to the water to the... I don't mind a story about the wine. I don't mind a story swordfish, but I don't need a story about why your tap water has been infused with Bavarian crystals or whatever. It can be a little too much sometimes, but I know what you're saying.
This fork is a unique fork that we found.
Yeah.
At the vintage
forged,
market.
It was forged in a cave in the Acadias. Yeah, no. All right. Well, so Valentine's Day, because there's a lot of guys listening who are like, all right, what should... So they should get a reservation, one reservation.
One reservation.
Does it have to be like a white linen, the 4-star?
No.
No. Okay.
I honestly, no.
Okay.
It should not. Because I think that, like, most women, at least for me, like, I'm not so impressed by how expensive a meal is. I'm more impressed by the effort that my significant other puts in, If they just said, like, hey, babe, like, let's go out to McDonald's. I'm so sorry. I've been busy all week. Let's go out to McDonald's. Like, you'd have to be happy with that because you love them regardless.
And they're putting at least some
exactly.
effort.
Exactly. So any guys out there.
I wouldn't recommend the fast food for the Valentine's Day.
Oh, no. Don't recommend
fast
food.
But maybe.
No.
All right.
But
well,
at the same time, like, any restaurant is nice. And if she complains, then dump her ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's not worth it.
Yeah. You sound
right?
Like
if she complains about not being expensive enough, then her standards are way too high. And she's a brat. And let her go.
All right. Good advice.
All right.
As with Valentine's Day right around the corner. All right. Well, this is Extra Sauce. When we come back, we will be joined by former New England Patriot lineman Matt Light. And we'll talk to Matty about what he likes to eat and how often he needs to eat to keep that weight up. That is coming up next.
Now back to Extra Sauce with Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon on WEEI.
We're back on Extra Sauce with former New England Patriot Matt Light, who is somebody who knows how to eat. I mean, that was a part of your job when you were a New England Patriot, was eating a lot and getting yourself bulked up.
Got paid to eat, basically.
You got paid to eat.
Yeah, and you know what? It wasn't like I came out. I mean, I guess I was a large kid for most of my life, But then when I got into high school, it wasn't like I was the biggest guy. And I get you know, brought into this Purdue thing and swallowed a couch, got really competitive in eating in college. You know, they talk about like the freshman 30.
Yeah.
I went from 220 pounds graduating high school to about a year and some change later being close to 280, 290. I mean, it's... It's a little gluttonous.
Like a lot of mac and cheese.
Yeah, so I do like to eat. Yeah, I mean, and then in New England, I swelled up. I think my heaviest was about 320, so I guess that qualifies me as an eating kind of guy.
During the season, how many meals would you eat like per day?
Yeah, and you know what? I think it wasn't, for me, certain guys approach it differently. Some guys like ate all day, like continually. I just did massive portions during like your three square meals a day, right? You know, so for breakfast, it was just unbelievable. I mean, you know, most people would stop at like the omelet with like some toast and whatever their drink of choice. Yeah, maybe some bacon.
Yeah, basically.
We would double time that, you know. I mean, it was almost competitive to see who could have more on their plate. And when you're in, you know, when you're in the NFL, it's food everywhere all the time. I think probably the easiest way to think about food for us is that when you go to work, you never leave, right? So it's not like the normal world. It's not the real world. So you get into the stadium and it's food all morning. Then you have meetings. Then before you go to practice, it's a ton more food, and they have chefs and all these people catering everything. There's snack rooms. They're throwing stuff at you. And then when you get back from practice, it's immediately more calories and more eating.
More food. Is there a city that you love to go to? Was there a restaurant in a city that you love to go to?
We didn't. Early in my career, we would go out a little bit. And we would definitely try to hit up a restaurant. It got harder and harder to do that. So I would say like the last, you know, half of my career, we never really left when we were on the road. But Tommy did get into this mode where it was all about getting dinner for the line. So he would call up like his favorite restaurants and have them cater something unbelievable.
At the hotel.
Yeah. Miami was probably the best because it's...
Shula's?
No.
Prime 112.
Prime
112.
Prime 112.
And so Tom would pay for that, and he'd have a massive meal brought over to the hotel for his O-line.
Yeah, kind of ridiculous. Yeah. You know, there'd be like the bone marrow spread that you put on your, it got weird at times, but it was always good.
So offensive line dinners in Boston. Obviously, the restaurant scene's changed a bit. I know that there's some restaurants that might have been hot 10 years ago that are, you know, now hot now. Moo and downtown. And what was like you guys' go-to spot? Capital Grill, was it Davio's? What? Which restaurant? Which steak? I'm assuming it's steak. I mean, if your offensive line wants to eat,
no,
it's
they're
a
all vegans.
The Awesome Burger, or whatever that is.
Impossible
the Impossible.
Burger,
yes, the Impossible. Which, by the way, I would say that today's NFL is quite different in terms of nutrition and health and, you know, what they eat, how they eat, when they eat it. Yeah. It's a little bit ridiculous. It kind of takes the fun out of it for me in some ways. Yeah. But when we come into Boston, Capital Grill was definitely one of the go-tos. It was one of the favorites. I mean, we did a lot of, you know, our team dinners there, which were sponsored by the Rookies. We appreciated that, like always. And for us, too, being in the Foxborough area, we would travel down to Providence quite a bit, too. You know, so we always, you know, the sushi.
Along the waterfront.
Yeah, we would, you know, we had 10. 10 was a big one back in the day. It's where everybody kind of hung out. We had some of our Christmas and, you know, other celebrations that we would host there. Always a big food. I think sushi and steak were probably the go-tos.
But you're somebody who now you like to be out hunting and you know, foraging in the woods. What's when it comes to cooking something, what's the weirdest thing that you've caught and then cooked?
Ooh, the weirdest. I think most people kind of are a little bit appalled or shocked when I say that squirrel is unbelievable.
No.
Good. And even
don't
saying
tell that
it,
to Julian Edelman, my
even
God.
I say
don't
it.
Say it to Danielle either. So wait, squirrel is really like great meat.
Well, okay, so
I mean, how many?
But it's almost like crab legs. I don't really like to do crab legs because it's like you smash it. So how much crab meat are you going
to
eat?
It's like who eats the like sucks on the little lobster leg thing and tries to get the meat out of that.
Do you suck on the squirrel paw. Wait, by the way, don't show this to Danielle.
No, I know. I remember when she had little Chippy or whatever his name was in the little thing.
And yeah.
Is he still around?
We hope so.
Okay, we're not going to eat that one.
Yeah.
But squirrel's really good. I grew up, you know, a lot of small game hunting in the Midwest, right?
Yeah.
And so going out squirrel hunting, that was just what you did, right? And you immediately clean them. To me, the art of eating is told through the stories of preparation, right? And so however you prepare, it doesn't mean that you have to go out and kill something and do from start to finish. But to me, I just love hearing people talk about their food passion as it relates to how they prepare, you know, for that big meal, whatever it is. Or maybe it's just a simple breakfast, but they have a ritual and they have something that they do, right?
Yeah.
For me, growing up, it was like, okay, we go out and that story of preparing to eat that venison steak started with a trip up north with the family, you know, with my dad sitting in a stand, hanging out. Then we actually get lucky enough to see, I mean, back in the day, to see a deer was kind of a rarity, right?
Yeah.
Even here in New England, back in the 50s, there weren't deer running around, right? They had to rebuild that population, and now we just take it for granted. But back in the day, it was like, oh, wow, we see one, then we get to harvest one, and then comes all the work, right? The preparation. I love aging meat, butchering. To me, that is, it's relaxing. It's like, you know, time away. And then the real fun begins when you actually then get that product into your kitchen and you start doing all kind of cool stuff with
it. So Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Will you go out to dinner with Mrs. Light or will you cook something?
His mustache in the studio looks like he's about to whip something up like Ratatouille style. It's pretty French. I want to just take a picture and like put a baguette next to you with a cigarette.
You should share the mustache on your social media.
On social media.
Yeah,
it changed my life, actually. I mean, I can't even look in the mirror without, you know, having some weird sensation. When you have the mustache, it changes a lot of things, but it doesn't change how you cook and how you eat, right? I mean, that's the good news, especially as it relates to this conversation.
Yeah, well, it can be an issue, though, with sauce. Like, I mean, if you have to make sure that you're getting all the...
You do.
So, what's your go-to meal prep? Like, if you're going to cook dinner for Mrs. Light.
All right, so we're Valentine's Day, and I'm going to cook something. So, my amazing wife is not the same as me, meaning she is a vegetarian through and through.
So she's not going to want squirrel.
So I don't have to share the squirrel with my wife, which is kind of an upside for me, right? Like, yeah. I get to have all of it. And you know what? For me, it's going to be, you know, a really good pasta and a really good potato, because that's what, you know, Mrs. Light really enjoys.
Yeah.
A good scallop potato done right.
Oh, yeah.
And really blend in the cheeses perfectly.
Yeah.
Get that nice crust, you know, around the edges and on top, you know, that you cut through.
What kind of cheese? I mean, you can't go American
bechamel cheese. That's what goes in the bechamel sauce.
Listen, when it comes to that end of it, YouTube or Googling is my biggest, because I never remember the finer details of that stuff. I just find the ones that look the best and I go back and I store them all. But I love all the apps, by the way, too. Yeah. I'm a big Yumly guy. Like, I like to, you know, track all the things that I've researched and looked up. Yeah. And I always kind of want to do it different anyway. Like, you know, when you're cooking, it's like, okay, what ingredients do I have near me? You know, how can I, you know, whip this together and make something work really well here? And then you go back and you try to remember, how the heck did I do it the one time that I thought I nailed it?
What's your biggest weakness? Is it sugar? Is it cheese? Is it pizza?
It's not. I would say, you know what, because I can skip desserts. I mean, I like them. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if I don't get to dessert, and most times we don't, because I overeat, you know, a lot. I would say that the one that I think is the bread end of it. Everybody's trying to say no to bread. Everybody wants to say no to it.
Yeah.
I don't really know that we need to say no. We just need to eat maybe better breads. But if there's bread on the table, I'm crushing the loaf.
Unless somebody pulls me off. Like dipping it in olive oil?
I'll dip it in
butter?
Anything.
Butter?
Give me the Mozambique sauce. If there's Mozambique sauce on a table, by the way, you love that, right?
What is Mozambique sauce?
I'm about to walk out of here.
Like the Portuguese,
shrimp Mozambique.
Like, I know, but they don't bring it with a bread basket.
I think we may have found a sauce I haven't tried.
Wow.
Mozambique sauce?
I thought I was the only one that didn't know.
I've never heard of that. Okay. So please indulge.
If you could only have one sauce, it would be Mozambique sauce.
Ooh, no, I don't know about that. No. But
see, that's Greg's signature question.
Oh,
really?
You have to think about it. So at the very end of the interview, that's when he's going to drop it to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like saying who's your favorite favorite kid.
Yeah.
I mean, Anna, obviously. But I mean, I don't want to name names, but Anna. But yeah. I mean, so.
So Mozambique
sauce.
Wow,
you never heard. So I fell in love with poor. So where I grew up, we don't have diversity, right? You're either a city kid or not. And that's only denoted by the actual city limits. Right. We all look the same. We all sound the same. Yeah. We all eat the same stuff, right? It's Cisco fried when you're out, you know, something Cisco related.
The bloomin' onion.
Right. It's a bloomin' onion done just in different grease, which makes it completely different from one place to the next. So this Mozambique sauce is one of the greatest things I've ever eaten. And when I tell you that when you get done with the shrimp portion of it, then you take your bread and you just sop up. Every last little piece.
Mussels in a white wine sauce.
Oh man, that's another one.
I love dipping bread in never mind the mussel part.
Right. But you have to have a good, I mean, whoever's doing that, there's a technique. Got a friend of mine whose wife is one of the best cooks on planet Earth, and when she does her mussels and she'll go out and she'll pick them off the beach, she comes in, she does this unbelievable.
But the dipping bread is one of the great rites we have as Americans, and I agree with you.
I used to kill a whole bag of bread. I feel you. That was my biggest. My mom was like, I can't believe you're like a growing up girl not eating gluten. You were like my bread girl growing up. It's like made her shed a little tear.
And we should talk a little bit about your vodka since you're here. Matt Light and
Kiel. You can sop that up with bread.
With bread. But how'd you end up getting involved in that?
So I had a couple buddies of mine that had come to me with this great idea probably 2010. So about my last year of playing, you know, 11 was my last season. I started looking at what they were doing, and when I finally did retire, I'm like, holy smokes, these guys are actually having a lot of fun. They may actually come up with this. And then they came to me and they had the bottle and they said, hey, look, you're unemployed. You're not doing anything. We think you could be great with this. And we're about to launch this thing. So let's do this. You know, let's have some fun.
And it's lower alcohol content.
It is. Which in 6 years ago was an awkward conversation. You know, people didn't want to hear about that. Now you look at, you know, how the industry's changed. Everybody wants to go out and have a great time. They want to eat. They want to be social. But they got to get up and they got to get things done, right? And maybe they're smoking a little bit more and they don't want to be that guy on social media or whatever it may be. So the lifestyle is trending now more towards what we represent with our vodka. So Kiel is 24% instead of 40%. It's just the right amount of alcohol, as we like to say. And, you know, it's easy to drink without drowning it in a whole bunch of sugars. So it's a better for you kind of alternative to beer and wine without going all the way to 40% alcohol.
And what's your go-to signature cocktail when it comes to Kiel? Are you a neat guy or a soda guy or a splash of cranberry or like what?
Just lemon. Just lemon. On the rocks with just lemon. And by the way, if speaking of like eating and healthy and this, that, and the other, I've gone to the high pH water with just a whole lemon squeeze in it every morning, and it's made a huge difference. You know, like that 9.5 or higher pH water?
Alkaline water is something that's, I mean, think about it. Chemically, it balances your body and makes you feel better. And I'm sure if you're, you know, drinking a whole bottle of, you know, Matt Light vodka, waking up in the morning, you got to alkaline.
You got to get after it.
Is this like the ML72 method or something that you're trying?
Yeah, I've never gotten a sunburn. Never. Yeah.
What do you think of Tom Brady's TB12 method?
First of all, you know, anytime I see any of that stuff, I say, all right, hey, work for you. Good for you, right?
Yeah, sure.
And it works for him. So, and you can pick it apart. Like, I'm never going to do that. Number one, I'm never going to, like, keep a journal or be that, you know, precise in my life.
I'd run out of paper.
Right.
If I had to keep a food journal, I'd run out of paper.
You'd be done.
But, I mean, it works for him.
It works for him, and it works really well. Like, can you argue it? No. I mean, you can say whatever you want about it. Like, I love to tease him, and I love to mess with him. But at the end of the day, it works for him, and that's how it is with everything. Because, look, very seldom do you have people that, you know, write those books and that's all they do, right? So if you really want to knock him, you'd say, well, hey, man, you play football. It's not like you got a degree in nutrition, right? But he's with all these people and he's always gaining knowledge on certain things and he's figured out what works for him, right? I mean, I've been trying to figure out what works for me for a long time.
All right, so only one sauce.
Yeah.
If the world were ending, you could only have one sauce. What would that one sauce be?
You're killing me. And you're not going to like this. And I'm going to get a little technical with it, but it's going to be a honey mustard.
I know
you're not going to like it. I know you're not going to like it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I can do almost anything with honey mustard sauce. And I don't want to get weird.
Chicken nuggets with honey mustard might be one of my favorite.
Oh, French fries.
Just did it last night.
Like, oh, yeah. No, I mean, even like leaving you leave the French fry in there so it soaks up a little more.
Yeah,
so it
kind
of penetrates the outside of the potato. Yeah. It's the best.
You can
I agree.
A lot with honey mustard, and you can get creative with the actual honey, right? And then you can get really creative with the mustard.
Spice. Yeah.
You know, like
spice
what kind of mustard and this mustard. And,
you're dead to me.
No, I don't like it either.
So, Matt Light has been our guest here on Extra Sauce, and you got a couple Light Foundation events that are coming up. So, before you go, I want
to
let you talk about those.
Yeah, we got our Bruins alumni game coming up March, I believe it's 21st. We're going to be down at Providence College. That's a great time. We got the Bruins alumni versus the Light Heroes.
Oh,
and,
that's awesome.
They won last year, so we'll see if they can do it again. And then we have Fool's Night Out, which is, I think this is like year 8 or 9 or maybe more. Lenny Clark, his brother Mike, they bring in all the all-stars, Greg Murphy and Artie January. I mean, just the whole crew. I mean,
and
these guys are legends.
A Patriot Place.
It is. Yeah. Six Strings. We're at Patriot Place. We're going to be there on April Fool's Day, which is a Wednesday this year. So,
A
couple good events. MattLight72.com. You can check out all the latest and greatest.
I already posted your mustachio video to the Light Foundation Instagram. So
oh,
don't worry.
God, love you. Yeah, it's going to change lives.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, that this skeet shooting event always in Rhode Island, you guys do great stuff. Just make sure that you tip us off beforehand on what kind of food you're going to have at the event. Because that's very... catering.
By the way,
food,
we're going
catering,
big
catering
this year.
Food.
Big. We're going to do a whole breaking down of many different carcasses live at the shootout.
Really?
No.
At the shootout.
And then all the ways that they get broken down, we're going to be serving them throughout the day.
Wait,
that sounds great.
Oh, it's going to be insane.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't... Right. I'll pass on the squirrel foot.
No, this is going to be deer. Tomorrow, they're going to be breaking down big deer carcasses, which
really?
Is really cool. Like, you know, everybody wants to know where their food comes from now. Well, you can actually physically get to see it happen and broken down.
I can't
down.
Wait. I can't
really
wait.
Cool.
All right. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That
Thank
is
you.
Former New England Patriot Matt Light on Extra Sauce. We'll be right back.
Now back to Extra Sauce with Greg Hill and Courtney Fallon on WEEI.
Lily P's in Cambridge is the latest restaurant from Chef Chris Parsons, who is with us on Extra Sauce. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's good to see you, man.
There's been a bit of a chicken resurgence, not only in Cambridge, but in Boston. What's going on with chicken?
Well, I mean, we're definitely riding the wave a little bit. You know, fried chicken, I think it's making a big, not a resurgence, but it's gaining in popularity because it's appealing to so many different cultures. It's very approachable, easy to love.
It's just so good.
It's just so good. It's crunchy and tasty.
But sometimes you feel so bad afterwards, depending on how many pieces.
Yeah,
I can go through a lot of fried chicken.
Guilty pleasures, man. Guilty pleasures.
Depending on what are your thoughts on the traditional? I know that's a Southern dish, but chicken and waffles is the first thing that comes to mind. It's something that's eccentric and really making a comeback.
Yeah, chicken and waffles is decadent. It's definitely a dish that I think if it wasn't for the tradition, I'm not so sure how popular it would be. It's kind of a double starch dish, and it really represents like the ultimate of, you know, against the sort of anti-carb diet.
My nickname in high school was double starch.
Yeah, it's double starch and a pile of sugar with the maple syrup.
But it's so good.
It is so good, now, and it smells so great. When you walk in the restaurant and you smell the waffles being cooked, it's so warm and inviting.
You guys have a unique way of preparing the fried chicken.
Yeah, so what we're doing at Lily P's is we're using pressure fryers, which, frankly, a lot of independent restaurants don't use them. They're quite an investment. But the big guys that we all know, you know, the chains, they've been using pressure fryers for years. The pressure fryer, we use a Henny Penny pressure fryer, and that was developed for the Colonel years ago. And the one we use now is a descendant of that. And it really is, we keep saying at the restaurant, you know, when we eat the fried chicken, you were saying how, you know, it's very decadent and sometimes you don't feel great after you eat it. But with the pressure fryer, it changes that experience in that it's not greasy. It's very crisp. It's very juicy. And something that happens when it fries under pressure, that it tastes a lot cleaner. And they had, I did a lot of research, a lot of reading on pressure fryers, the development of pressure fryers. And there were a lot of, experiments gone bad, so to speak, that I'm glad I wasn't around for.
Yeah, you don't want to be a part of those.
No,
people lost their eyebrows. Yeah. their full head of hair.
Yeah, for sure.
How important for those who are cooking fried chicken at home and for you, how important is brining? And what do you guys do?
I think the brine is the most important step in the process. If you brine it properly, I mean, the pressure fryer is nice. It's great to have all the gadgets to be able to put ourselves in a position of being able to give you the best product possible in the restaurant environment. But at home, brining would be the most important part of the process, I think.
And how do you guys do it?
So we have a very simple brine. It's salt, sugar, herbs, black pepper. You know, we have fresh thyme, black pepper. We put some hot sauce in there. And it's just balanced, a little bit of sweet. A little salty on the palate. We have a recipe that we use, obviously, but if you mix up some salt and sugar and water at home and taste it, it should taste a little salty and edge of sweet, and then you can add in whatever spices you want. I recommend 24 hours in the brine, and then it's like when you cook turkeys, you know, Thanksgiving. If you brine, you're going to have a winning product. It just holds the juice. It infuses moisture in there.
There are three different sandwich choices at Lily P's.
Well, we brought three here today. We have five.
Okay, you got five.
Yes. The aromas. Yeah. I wish that we had, like, you could smell-o-vision.
Yeah, I know.
I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
So please indulge. I'm very interested. You got three bins over here, and you got different sides and sauces and.
Well, we knew we were cooking for Greg today, so we brought plenty of food.
What sandwiches did you bring?
So we brought, first of all, the Lily Peas. So Lily Peas is named after my daughter. And the second question is always, what do I have any other kids and do we have restaurants named after them? And the answer is no. Timmy's got a kick butt Fender Stratocaster, so he's cool with that.
He's
cool
with
that. Yeah, he's fine with that. But the ones I brought today are the Lily Pea, and that's just a southern take, a southern version of our sandwich with comes with pimento cheese and chow chow. And chow chow is basically like a southern vegetable chutney. Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So really rich and creamy, a little spicy. And then we brought the Lower Broadway. That's our our take on like a Nashville hot style chicken. So we make a our hot, basically what we do is we take the hot fryer oil and then while it's hot, pour it over spices and all the spices bloom, all cayenne and garlic powder and all these we've got about 10 different spices in there. We let it infuse overnight. We strain that. And then we literally dip the fried chicken in that oil.
Oh,
and then that gets served with our...
Oh, yeah, Greg's hungry. That's his hungry noise.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
you can't just say that.
Yeah, so we literally dunk it in there and then let the excess fat drip off. Wow. So that is really the core of the sandwich. Then it comes with a little mayonnaise and some Lily Peas slaw, or house slaw. And the third sandwich we brought our karage. We have a couple traditional ones and then a couple sandwiches that are, you know, from different ethnicity backgrounds. Yeah. This one has kupi mayo and kimchi.
What's kupi mayo?
So it's a Japanese style mayo. It has MSG in it. So it has big flavor, awesome flavor. And the kimchi, it's made locally in Rhode Island. Again, like big, big, strong flavor. It's a very deep and flavorful sandwich.
Along the same lines that, you know, a lot of people get a lot of inspiration for foods on their travels. What's the biggest? Have you traveled down to Nashville a lot? I mean, I've been to Hattie B's. Hattie B's is a staple for fried chicken. But is there any specific travel or trip or something that you could think of that really inspires you to say, like, hey, what's this sauce again? Let me lick the bottom and see and figure out, okay, like, we need to bring this back to Boston.
Yeah, I mean, when I travel or dine and you have something that's impactful, it always sort of, you know, gets imprinted in your memory a little bit.
For sure.
For me, as far as, you know, when I come up with dishes, a lot of it comes from my personal, like, culinary heritage, if you will. I went to culinary school in Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, I spent a year there and got to know the cuisine a little bit. I would not call myself an expert on Southern cuisine, but it's part of my repertoire. And then when I left there, I moved to, believe it or not, I learned how to cook a lot of Southern food in Telluride, Colorado. I moved out there to be a ski bum for a few years. And
it's not a bad ordeal.
Yeah, it was good. It was good times. And I ended up working at a restaurant called Evangeline's. And it was a bunch of guys who went to Tulane and all cut their teeth on the, you know, the big restaurants down there, Brennan's, Commander's Palace. And I spent 2 years cooking there and really learned a lot about Creole cuisine, how to make a proper dark roux and how to make great gumbos, etouffees. So that has always, those experiences have always been part of sort of my culinary language. And you know, when I think about food and I think about ingredients, you know, those things have found their way in there, along with other experiences I've had.
You brought up the dark roux. I have to ask, as a chef, if you could only have one sauce, what would that sauce be?
That's a tough one. It might have to be Crystal hot sauce. I do tend to throw it on everything.
Okay.
I don't know. That might be a cop out, but I do.
That's all right.
Grab it often, I mean, for
right.
sure.
Okay.
But a great etouffee sauce coming from a dark roux. I mean, making a roux properly is an arduous process.
Yep.
You burn your arms, you sweat, you have to throw in all the mirepoix after it's been cooking for about 40 minutes and it spits and it's a very difficult process. And now I don't do it anymore. I have the chefs do it. I think it's important they go through it. And I've done it enough.
Yeah, you've done it enough. But it's hard. But it's, a good sauce takes time.
It takes time. And with that, I mean, the roux is a very important part of that cuisine. And you can't take shortcuts.
I've been to the restaurant. I enjoyed the pimento cheese with the Ritz crackers.
Yes. Yeah, we brought some here today.
Yeah. I like the fact that you utilize the Ritz.
Yeah. Well, some of the stuff, I mean, we make the pimento cheese in-house, and we take a lot of pride in the process. I mean, a lot of the food we serve at Lily P's is very straightforward. It's things you've seen before. I think what sets it apart is that we take so much care in the process. That said, pimento cheese and Ritz crackers, that's just an obvious choice. I mean, we could make some fancy cracker. We know how to do that.
But I'm no James Beard winner, but I might recommend that you try the chicken in a biscuit cracker. perhaps the best cracker ever created. So
all
just
right.
Feel free to throw that in there.
It's on my list, man. Thanks for the heads up.
So we want to, should we try some food?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready.
All right.
I didn't eat breakfast today, so.
Oh, right on.
Let's do it.
All right. So on this show, we eat on the radio. You know, it's not the same, but we're going to try sandwiches. So which one do I have?
You have the karaage.
All right, the karaage with the mayo.
With the kupi mayo and kimchi.
All right, I'm going to try.
There you go.
Let it crunch.
Sounds crunchy.
I think the sound is prettier than the face that Greg is making on the air.
Oh, that's really good.
It's impressive you got your mouth around that.
Yeah, I know. It looks like there's different like wings. Like there's so much chicken that there's like little legs of the chicken like...
But that mayo it's really, really good, that mayo.
Yeah, it has a deep, deep flavor.
Man, what do you have, Courtney?
All right, I've got the Lily Peas.
That's Lily Pea.
With the pimento cheese. Is that your first time trying pimento cheese?
No.
Oh, okay. What do you think?
It's very good.
It's good?
It's a traditional, like, really solid, very, almost like smoky.
Yep.
Beer cheese kind of flavor. And the chicken is... fantastic. Very crispy. I like these little hot peppers that are on the side.
That's the chow chow. Mm-hmm. So with all the sandwiches, usually, so we use a Hawaiian bun, so it has a little bit of sweetness. The chicken, obviously, has got its crunch, good crunchy texture. And then I usually add something creamy and then something with some acidity so it pops in your mouth.
Mm. But I really like the peppers have a very sweet... Do you brine these yourself? Or these,
the peppers, the chow-chow, we make it in-house. So it's essentially like a vegetable chutney, essentially. Mm-hmm. It has some sugar. It has vinegar.
Yeah.
We make it with champagne vinegar.
Really?
Yeah, champagne vinegar, a little sugar.
And how bad have the horrible people at Popeyes driven the price of chicken up and the availability factor? I mean, is it tough to get chicken for chicken sandwiches thanks to Popeyes?
No. I mean, it's funny you say that. We got a write-up a couple of weeks ago, and it mentioned the fact that we use Bell & Evans chicken. And we got a call from Bell & Evans corporate, and they just wanted to confirm that we used Bell & Evans. and they made reference to the chicken wars. And I said, well, I didn't know. I don't know if we want to be part of any wars. Yeah, we just want to serve some good chicken. But we're aware it's going on. That's for sure.
Yeah. Greg, I want to pass you another thing. Personal favorite, cornbread. This cornbread that I'm digging into right now is so dense. I mean, this is like a next level. Can you please explain how you make the cornbread? Because I'm excited. I'm ready to dive in.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. So that cornbread is the recipe for that's a little unique, and it is a lot of work. Essentially, it starts with we use frozen corn kernels and butter. And then we slowly cook out the corn kernels and butter until the kernels get nice and golden brown and the butter browns. So you get this, the process there is like this very rich and fragrant.
Very rich.
Yeah, you have to stir it constantly. There's some similarities to the process of making roux. You kind of have to stand over it and you sort of smell it, like it infuses your clothes and everything. And then once it's all golden brown, then you put it in the blender and puree it. So you have this smooth puree. Then we fold in a couple things, some cake flour. This product called isomalt, which is, it's essentially, it's like sugar. It gives the texture of sugar, but it without the sweetness, and then sugar. So we can have this really like chewy, sugary texture without it being overwhelmingly sweet. So cake flour, sugar, some baking powder, isomalt, and bake them off. And that's the deal. And it comes out, we get so many comments on this.
It's really, I don't think I've ever had a cornbread that's as dense. It's almost like a sweet cake.
Would you say moist? It's I know Danielle from the morning show hates the word moist. You probably do too. But it's moist.
Moist.
It's very moist.
No, it's more than moist. Wow.
Well, Lily Pease is open in Cambridge, and I heard rumblings that you're coming to the Hub Food Hall. Is that true?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. So,
way to go. We love it.
These sandwiches you'll be able to find at the Hub Food Hall. We're opening, I believe, at 1st of April. And there's a bunch of great restaurants going in there. I'm really excited
to
be part
of it. It's
really
cool. I got a tour of the place a couple of weeks ago, and it's going to be a great place to go before and after games.
Yeah. It's a great forum for us, too. I'm really pleased. I mean, at Lily Pease, we're a combination of fried chicken restaurant, a little bit of a sports bar. You know, we have dart boards. We've got shuffle boards. We've got a big we love the Bruins there. We've got a big Bruins flag on the wall.
So does Greg.
And
now I know why this connection.
Yeah. But mine's probably not signed by all the Bruins. So.
We'll work on that. I'm sure you get them some free chicken. They'll be over there to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. And what's the best night to go? Any night easier than others to get in? Or
Monday through Saturday. I mean, we get a big after work scene over there in Kendall Square. We've got a huge space. I think we have 160 seats, a big bar. It's rare that we have to tell someone no or turn them away.
The drinks are good, too. I got a great Manhattan there, and I loved it. I like my Manhattan to be sweet, kind of like I am. I had a great drink over there. So drink menu, pretty good, too.
Yeah, we've got a great, this fellow Loomer put together the cocktail list. He did a great job. We've got, I think, 17 or 18 beers on draft. I mean, the restaurant ultimately is a very selfish expression of everything that I love. Cocktails, beers, fried chicken, great music.
Yeah. Pimento cheese,
yeah, exactly.
Crackers. Yeah.
Yeah, good tunes. You know, I bought a friend of mine was visiting from Denmark, and I've known him for years, and we were there after hours throwing darts, eating some food one night, and he's like, man, this is like hanging out in your garage. You know, like, exactly.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. All right, Chris. Well, thanks for being here on Extra Sauce, and we'll see you at Lily Pease.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, Courtney, not bad. First show.
Not bad.
I feel pretty good. We'll be back next Saturday with another edition of Extra Sauce. However, if you want to take a look at the food that we got to eat that you didn't get to eat, then make sure you search.
Humble brag.
You can search the hashtag
Extra Sauce, WEEI.
Okay.
I'm posting some stuff on, we just posted stuff. I posted some stuff on my Twitter. Greg's supposed to post some stuff on his Twitter, but he might just retweet it.
No, I'll probably put it on Instagram. Okay, yeah. Greg Hill, W-E-E-I.
Oh, yeah. Greg's all about, you're all about the food Instas.
Well, why not?
Yeah,
I mean, what else do I have? Greg, I have a boring life. Like, all I can post is me eating. What I don't have anything, or watching Dateline. Like, what else would I post about?
Greg's life is really just all about his morning show.
It's
protecting himself from the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's just about
not
work.
Eating bat soup.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, and really good food in Boston. Yeah, right. That's just that's what your life's all about. And listen,
and I'm staying away from the squirrels too. Like, no squirrels.
Was that not the most like horrific thing for me? Like, him sitting there and talking in great detail about how he loves to eat squirrel, and I'm like, I'm just thinking about like the little squirrel hand. Like, does he cut it off and like tickle his kids at night?
All right.
Does he use it as a bat? Matt Light, I need to know. Matt Light Foundation, do you use the squirrel hand as like a back scratcher?
Yeah, all right. Well, on that note, we're going to say goodbye. I will be back Monday morning with the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI, and Courtney and I will be back next week with another edition of Extra Sauce.